Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Did you see the news this morning? There are some like traders that are hopeful for a Doge ETF.
That is wild to me. But, you know, look, the thing about ETFs is you can put anything in them, and then it's the wrapper around it that becomes a security. So, you know, that doesn't say anything about Doge, but, you know, I'll believe it when I see it.
Liz Boysen, welcome to First Mover.
Thank you.
I asked Liz to join First Mover because I needed some legal answers. And I'm sorry, but they had nothing to do with Doge. Earlier this week, we learned that the Ethereum Foundation was facing a government inquiry. This was revealed after CoinDesk reporters noticed that a disclosure on Ethereum's website was missing. Now, the website used to say this: the Ethereum Foundation has never been contacted by any agency anywhere in the world in a way which requires that contact to be disclosed. Ethereum will publicly disclose any sort of inquiry from government agencies that falls outside the scope of regular business operations. Now, that footer on the website was removed on February 26th, along with the website's warrant canary. Now, you're probably asking, what is a warrant canary? I also had no idea, but CoinDesk's Sam Kessler told me on a previous video. A warrant canary is pretty interesting. It's usually a text or visual on a website that a company will include to indicate that they've never been served with a secret government subpoena or document request. Now that that's removed, journalists were tipped off that a state agency was looking into Ethereum. But which one? After CoinDesk published the story, Fortune confirmed that it was the SEC looking into Ethereum, and that report said that the SEC was looking to classify ETH as a security. When I read this, I asked myself, what does this actually mean? Does this have something to do with the ETH ETF deadline that's coming up in May? What does this mean for crypto firms in the United States? And more importantly, if ETH is deemed a security, what does this mean for all of the people in the United States who hold ETH? Liz is a partner at Hogan Lovells in the global regulatory practice based in Washington, D.C. She says that she's not surprised by this inquiry, and she also says that it might not be as bad as it seems for the Ethereum Foundation. But she also said that Ethereum's switch to proof of stake and staking could be a sticking point. Let's take a listen.
We've known for a while that the SEC has been very interested in specifically staking, and that they have been sending subpoenas for at least the last year or so to various participants in the Ethereum ecosystem. While it may be surprising, if true, that the foundation itself has received a subpoena, I think that's really the news. Otherwise, the SEC has very much articulated, number one, that it is interested in staking, especially around the time of the merge, and generally the proof of stake consensus mechanism. And number two, that it's using international counterparts to help it gather evidence in these various cases.
Liz, you said it would be surprising if the SEC was actually looking into the Ethereum Foundation. Why is that surprising?
You know, I think what they're looking for is evidence, and either looking to the Ethereum Foundation as a witness or a subject. Remember, receiving a subpoena does not necessarily mean that the recipient is a subject of an investigation, merely that they might have information that could help the government in its fact-finding mission. And so the fact that the Ethereum Foundation, you know, if we're to believe the warrant canary, has received some form of process may or may not mean that it's a subject. I think it's somewhat surprising that the SEC would be going and looking at them potentially as the common enterprise or the centralized, you know, controllers really of the Ethereum network. That would seem to be the theory as the SEC is building out probably the Howey factors, you know, looking at staking and proof of stake as an investment of money, and then looking to see if there's sufficient decentralization behind it, or if indeed the Ethereum Foundation is, you know, controlling the code and very much directing things. And so questions that I've seen, you know, the SEC posed to others are around, you know, who launched the Beacon chain? Who made the decisions to delay? It's my understanding that the SEC may even be receiving GitHub data to see who's actually working on various coding projects in the Ethereum ecosystem, and that they're really looking to see if it's controlled by a small group who also stands to benefit from an increase in value in ETH, or if it truly is decentralized.
You mentioned the Howey test. Now, the Howey test is a four-pronged test that is set out to determine whether an entity is offering a security or not, or whether something is a security or not. When you look at the Howey test and you look at the facts behind Ethereum and the Ethereum Foundation, what do you see? What do you think the SEC is going to find here when they apply those four prongs to Ethereum?
Yeah, I think the facts that they're trying to gather are, you know, whether staking really looks like an investment of money. And, you know, essentially, if I am locking up some of my Ether, I'm incurring an opportunity cost. I'm taking a risk. I'm not able to use those coins for something else. So that kind of looks like an investment of money. As I mentioned, there's the common enterprise question. As to, you know, who really controlled the launch of the new code base, how dispersed is the coding community, and then, of course, the expectation of profit. You know, if you're a validator on the network, you're expecting or trying to get an annual return. The more you stake, the more you earn. Those are the kinds of things that the SEC is looking at. And, you know, from the efforts of other prong is, I think, what they're really getting at with who managed this merge. And, you know, is the network actively monitored?
Here's a part that I think is always interesting when we look at the SEC and the different entities they're going after. The Ethereum Foundation is Swiss-based. The SEC has purview over Americans, over the United States, over companies that are operating in the United States. Talk to me a little bit about the SEC setting an inquiry to a Swiss-based foundation. What grounds does the SEC have in sending this inquiry to a foundation that is not based in the United States?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, if asked to prove it in court, the SEC would say that there are enough jurisdictional hooks between what the Ethereum Foundation does and U.S. markets. So, for instance, they have people who have either bought the token here or otherwise invested in the network, and those are U.S. investors. There were U.S.-based developers participating, who participate in either the merge or day-to-day validation. And the SEC has even argued before that the location of such a predominance of validator nodes in the U.S. is one of the jurisdictional hooks available to it. It sees, you know, the U.S. infrastructure as somehow essential to this network. That sort of brings it to, you know, how is it going to gain evidence from the Ethereum Foundation and how did it serve process? There we have the cooperation, it appears, of the Swiss entities, of the Swiss counterpart to the SEC. I've seen that in various cases that the SEC is using its Office of International Affairs to, you know, make friends, perhaps conduct joint investigations or parallel investigations. But, you know, it's too early to tell. The Swiss authorities might have said, we'll help you serve paper and gather evidence, but, you know, that's the extent of our cooperation. It does not necessarily mean that they have their own investigation going on or that they would take any further steps in terms of locating assets or other things that come along with an SEC investigation.
Is this business as usual? Is this just something that crypto firms should expect, that one day a regulator will be knocking on their door looking for information?
It's possible. And, you know, as I said, receiving process, while it's a, you know, certainly daunting stack of paper, and, you know, there is sometimes a voluntary and sometimes a legal requirement to respond. It is the government going about its evidence gathering function. And it, you know, means that there may be relevant relative investigative material at the, you know, the recipient's sort of fingertips in his, within his possession or something that it can access. It also does this through investigative interviews. So in addition to document requests, it can use the same subpoenas to try to ask questions of those located abroad. Generally, those are voluntary, but if the local authority, so abroad here, the Swiss authority, does choose, you know, it can make those interviews a little bit less voluntary and invoke the authority of the local court over there to, you know, make people sit down for an interview and give information. So it still does not mean, you know, it still is business as usual, largely. It does not mean, you know, that any of this legal process is anything other than an information gathering exercise at this point.
The big question here, I think, when people read the story is ETH going to be deemed a security? And it's interesting that this comes up now because we have that deadline for the ETH ETF in May. And so from your perspective, I know you say that this is this could possibly be just an information gathering exercise, but do you think that the SEC could deem ETH a security within the year?
I don't think within the year. I think what they would have to do is, you know, petition the authority of a court, go through the Howey test, you know, go through, you know, the fact finding, and ultimately would be the court who decides the law. However, you know, I think it does call into question the possibility of proof of stake as a consensus mechanism. And if that were to come under scrutiny more broadly, even than just, you know, ETH, that could be something that jeopardizes things in the long term. You know, then are you back to proof of work that requires computing power, energy expenditure, and is being scrutinized in other ways by the U.S. government? And so I think, you know, level one really needs to look to how to do its validation. You know, I think proof of stake ultimately will prevail, but this is a bump in the road for sure for it.
When you say it could jeopardize things, what do you mean?
Sure. I mean, you know, if the concept of pledging tokens and making them unavailable and putting them at risk in order to support a network, make it more secure, all the things that staking does, if that is, you know, deemed to be an investment of money, then it could be either under the SEC's authority or another regulator, you know, looking to regulate that conduct and somehow make that investment of money a little bit more difficult. I mean, look, when, you know, I'm locking up some of my assets, it makes me, and if I were an institution, you know, less able to meet, you know, debt requirements. This could lead somehow to a liquidity crisis. And I think the SEC has seen this build through, you know, CDOs, the full panoply, even last year, you know, as recently as the SVB bank failure, the banking regulators see this. And whenever you have a long-term commitment, such as a staking obligation, it's less liquidity and could cause other players to have short-term liquidity lapses. And that's of concern to regulators. So I think if they, you know, are indeed, you know, interested in preserving, you know, the sanctity of the U.S. investor system and making products that are, or overseeing products that are safe, that would be among their concerns.
All right. And what does this mean for people in the United States who are holding Ether?
You know, I think this is, depending on what they intend to do with it, you know, if they are using it for investment purposes, they might see a fluctuation in value. They might have seen a fluctuation in value with the ETF. I don't think that things are coincidental, by the way. I think these investigations have been going on for some time. And while they might delay ETF approval, you know, look, that's happened before. You know, ETF approval has been kicked down the road even further. If they're looking to, you know, use them for staking purposes, no immediate consequence to that. But, you know, they should be aware that the SEC is looking at that as an investment of money. And if they're encouraging others to do so, they could be deemed to be promoting that kind of activity. So, you know, even offering staking as a service could be deemed some sort of promotion of making that kind of investment of money. Over the longer term, you know, if they're looking to use Ether tokens, you know, as a developer or somehow build on top of the ecosystem, I do see this as a serious threat to innovation. I think, you know, before it was the lack of regulation in the U.S. kind of chilling innovation. And now this is a real specter of the U.S. government, you know, trying to intervene in a network that really should be, you know, the infinite computer and really should be the infinite machine, you know, capable of doing great things. And so I think that's a really unfortunate potential consequence.
Liz, thanks so much for joining the show.
Okay, thank you.
So it seems that this could just be the government gathering evidence for a number of different reasons. And crypto companies should be ready for this, given the regulatory uncertainty in the United States. Even if an organization like the Ethereum Foundation is based in another country, it could have jurisdictional hooks to U.S. markets. And these jurisdictional hooks could look like developers being based in the United States or people in the United States having access to your platform or your token. We're going to continue following this story so you can get all of the latest updates on CoinDesk.com. That's it for First Mover.